developing the underlying theme that seems to be taking place behind the scene on a deeper level in Sefer Bereshit, to ultimately to be continued throughout the ages until the days of David HaMelech, and that is the unfolding and the coming into the world of the different midot that have to come in into existence. And in the process of that coming into those midot through the seven individuals, which we know as the Shiva Ushbizin, which came to visit us in our Sukkah recently, or sometimes known as the Shivat Haroim, but in any case, that is not just certain midot coming in. Klal Yisrael is being formed in the process of the unfolding of those midot, and when in fact all those midot come through by the last one coming forth, the seventh one, the Midav Malchut, which is personified by David HaMelech, once that is formed, Klal Yisrael, and on some level we can say, completed its formation, its creation, and that allows for the first time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fully be Mashreif and Shechina in Klal Yisrael. And that's why Beit HaMikdash can be built by the son of Shlomo HaMelech. We've examined certain aspects or expressions of that. Parshiot-wise, though, where we're holding the Sefer Bereshit, Parshat Lech Lecha, going to Parshat Vayera, was transitioned from the Midah of Chesed, going into the unfolding of a new Midah coming forth, Midah of Gevurah, or Din sometimes. We saw yesterday that the way it would manifest itself in terms of Midot, in relationship between Adam, Ben Adam LaMakom, not Ben Adam LaChavero. Ben Adam LaChavero, we said that every time you say no to a friend, positively or negatively, you're activating that Midah of Gevurah. You're activating, if you wish, your left hand. You're activating your red color, so to speak, of no. La'olam tehe smol docha, and that's the Midah of Gevurah. Yamin mekalevet, that's the Midah of Chesed. So anytime you say no, anytime you restrain yourself, anytime you remain within your borders and your boundaries, that is the Midah of Gevurah coming out. Ezehu gibor hence, as we saw, HaKodeshet Yitzro. The way it manifests itself in terms of Ben Adam Lemachom, so that we saw, we developed it yesterday, you guys said some very, very good things, and that is, that's the Midah of Yir'ah, or what we call Yir'at Shamayim, as opposed to the Midah of Ahavat Hashem, which is an orientation in the Bechina and the Midah of Avram Avinu. The Midah of Chesed manifesting or directing itself towards Ben Adam LaMakom is the Midah of Ahavat Hashem, as opposed to Yir'at Shamayim, is the Midah of Gevurah. Sa'adya pointed out very well yesterday, as the Rishonim point out, the Ramban says it, if I'm not mistaken, that is that all mitzvot aseh, in fact, draw from that core midah of ahava, all mitzvot aseh, or that branch of the mitzvot, and all 365 mitzvot lo taseh draw from the midah of yirat shamayim. Okay, now we saw it manifest itself and express itself in Shabbat, in Zachol v'shamol, v'dibur echad, etc. But in any case, the Midah of Gevurah is to come forth into the world through the birth and the coming into existence of the personality of Yitzchak Avinu. We saw yesterday that as the Parsha reaches its peak in its completion in the Akedah, that's when the Midah fully comes into the world, the ultimate bitul of oneself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not just mevatel one of your Yitzharim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, you're mevatel, or you're willing at least to be mevatel your entire being in front of Him, hence Mesirut Nefesh, which Yitzchak Avinu is the prototype of. He's the paradigm of Mesirut Nefesh. All Mesirut Nefesh throughout the ages is going to be an expression of that trait of Yitzchak Avinu. And though often we focus, and we will in a moment, on the Avram Avinu aspect of the Akedah, really the one who to leave his ashes on top of the altar, on top of the Mizbeach, as Chazal pointed out, in an internal way, in the more deeper sense, he leaves his ashes. And that Yitzhak Avinu, who went up to Hamoriah, is not the same Yitzhak that comes down. He went through a self-transformation, which on some level we said we can relate to. Anybody who goes through, and we should never have to experience such an experience, and nobody that we're close to, and nobody in Klal Yisrael should have to go through such a thing as a near-death experience. And I'm not reducing the Akeda experience to near-death experience in terms of the modern reports that you hear about it today, but I'm saying it as in terms of some level being able to relate to the concept that when one sees death in front of his eyes as a possibility, or as a reality, and then his soul comes back into this world. Or he's falling off the cliff and saved at the last moment, and describing how all of his life rushed in front of him in a split second. He comes out of that a different person, and he's completely transformed. And clearly, in levels that go way beyond our understanding, Yitzhak Avinu goes through his own self-transformation in his own way, as a result of the Akedah, which, as I said before, Chazal expressed it in the sense that his ashes are there. ashes of Yitzchak prior. The pre-Akedah Yitzchak turns into ashes. The new Yitzchak coming down, there's a new Yitzchak with many different expressions, some of which we're going to be developing over the Parsha Yot are going to be developing over the next a few stages in Sefer Bereshit. In any case, but we went further, and this is where we got to, and I'd like to continue from that point onwards. We saw, though, that the Parsha does not give birth to Yitzchak so quickly. There's a lot that has to happen before that. Many events have to happen in reality or in the world before Yitzchak can actually be born. The very significant one, Avi pointed it out very nicely yesterday, and that is the whole story of Sodom and Amorah. The destruction of Sodom, the saving of Lot, has to take place, obviously, before, in conjunction with the coming into the world of Yitzchak, because otherwise that doesn't explain why the whole parsha starts off with one paragraph that has three different topics that don't seem to be related, or three malachim that come as a group and have three different jobs that some don't seem to be related. Why in the world do we have to destroy Lot coupled together completely with the message that Yitzchak will be born? Unless, what we said, one can examine it on a few different levels, and it was expressed here, but in a deeper and a broadest historical perspective, that's what Avi pointed out, that somehow, prior to Midah Chesed going on to develop itself towards the Midah of Gevura, we're already jumping on to the very end of the process, and we're giving birth to the possibility, we're planting the seeds, if you wish, creating the genes for the Malchut of David HaMelech, the whole story of Lot, to be bringing it out. Moab, who is born in this Parsha, Moab has to be born in this Parsha, Moab, the individual, later in history, to turn into the people, into the nation, before Yitzchak comes into the world, so that the possibility for Malchut is there before Yitzchak is even born. And that means that the development of the individuals in bringing about the Midot in Klal Yisrael, or the formation of the Midot, have to take place in the context of the seven Midot as a whole, all aiming themselves towards the seventh Midah, and that is the Midah of Malchut of David HaMelech. We did not explain how we understand it, what's the meaning of it. We just presented that as the Parsha develops as such, it has to be so. Somehow we need to first point out the destination, the ultimate last point where all Midot are aspiring to, are directing themselves towards, the last Tachana Sofit of David HaMelech. Once that's created, now we can start moving forward from Midah 1 to 7. We have to first set the stage for the seventh stage before the first can go into the second. Try to find your way. Okay, so how do we understand the need to plant the seeds for the seventh Midah of Malchut prior to start moving from the first Midah onto the second Midah. So I'd like to talk about it in whatever time we have today, and let's say at least on two different levels, but I would like you guys to try to come to see that the two different levels that we're speaking about really are two different floors within the same perspective. They're not different explanations, they're really complementary to each other. And let's actually start. I think the first level actually was referred to yesterday. Ari may have mentioned it in a later part of Shir yesterday, and I'd like to develop it. It's a point that we really spoke about on some level earlier, a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to go deeper into it. And that is as follows. Listen carefully, please. Earlier on, last week, we saw that we don't just, please listen carefully, Avraham Avinu, with the Midah of Chesed that he personifies, embodies, becomes the Merkava, or the carrier of, throughout his life, and every detail in his life is another stage in the development of that Midah. A crucial stage in the development of that Midah is eradicating, moving out, bringing out of, or selecting out of Avraham Avinu, the elements of his own Midah which require to be extracted. And those come out in the form of Yishmael. Right? We spoke about in great length last week. I don't want to go back into it. Chazal says that explicitly. The waste in the same very Midah of Avraham Avinu, which in Avraham Avinu just manifests itself as potential. It doesn't come out into the open, of course, in the incredible personality of Avraham. But it can later on come out by his descendants, and therefore it's going to come out in one of his descendants, that descendant to be removed from the system, pushed to the side, and through that we're being mevarer Yishmael Hatzida, with all of its being the prototype process for the Berul between Yishmael and Israel in our day and age today. We spoke about it, we saw some interesting sources in Chazal about how this sets the stage for the Yishmael Klal Israel conflict at the end of days. But in any case, Avraham Avinu has to let out, discharge, if you wish, of himself, the Yishmael elements. Once Yishmael is removed, and only once Yishmael is removed, we can continue on to Yitzchak's Midah of Gevura. Now, we pointed out last week, and this is a very important point in terms of development of the Midot, and those of you who have enough of an applying mind to understand that what we're talking about over here is not detached, abstract concepts. Rather, the Maaseh, at the end of the day, they become as practical, as existential, as Lamaisa as can be in terms of our own Midot. And this year, very much, even though it may sound a little high in your own mind, I do recommend try to see how this manifests itself in terms of a person's own personal Tikkun Midot. And this is a very significant point in it. And that is, we saw that the waste of the Midah of Avram that comes out of him is the extreme, let's just call it such, aspects of the same very Midah of Avram. It's not a different Midah. It's the negative elements in that Midah means those elements in the Midah which are extreme, which are unbalanced with the other side. So we saw the lack of boundaries that's so dominant in Yishmael, which Chesed by definition is the lack of boundaries. It's not the lack of boundaries, it's the going, extending yourself beyond boundaries, beyond your borders, in any act of Chesed. And Yishmael, this is going to manifest itself in an unhealthy, destructive form of no boundaries. Yadova kol v'yad kol bo. No boundaries, and therefore, though that possession really belongs to you, but I can really take it, as we saw a vast majority of cars in Israel vanish really into the West Bank. Okay, lo tignov is the reason why Yishmael cannot accept the Torah, because it's just against his being not to steal, and I can't not put my hands in somebody else's business. The boundaries is something which is very lacking. Hence, this extreme, unhealthy, destructive midah manifesting itself in its negative form. Yes, Avi?
Two things into one. Basically, then how, if Avram sort of purifies himself, kind of thing, then how, first of all, can you have a bad Jew? And second of all, moving from that question, Esav comes like a generation, two generations after Avram.
Esav, we didn't come to yet. The later stages of discussion in a week or two, B'zat Hashem, in Sefer Bereshit, let's not jump the gun. Very valid question, and we'll get to Esav and anything that, to the extent that we understand it, of course, that has to do with him later on. How can we have a bad Jew, and what does that mean? And clearly, that means that the midot also later on can be channeled negatively in ways that we will develop and actually show. Yes,
Doesn't Chesed also include Gvurah within itself?
I would like to go, yes, finish your sentence.
To do Chesed, you have to bring within yourself to overcome the Gvurah, the
Okay, so that's very, very, very complex. It's very, very, very complex. Aspects of it of what not to bring up, but I'd like to actually go into right now and really really introducing the topic of discussion. Okay, let's continue from where I left off, and then we'll be developing what Nati is talking about. Another way then to talk about the extremity of the Midah of Yishmael is the fact that it's unwilling to incorporate into it, and in that sense it's what Nati is saying, the opposite Midah at the other end of the spectrum of Midot in relationship to Chesed and Midah of Gevura. We saw that these two first Midot really are opposing each other in terms of their direction. One is the going beyond, and one is totally remaining within boundaries, helping an old lady in the streets and saying no to whatever your one friend wants to go to a pub with you at night. You say no. These are two opposite midot being activated in you. In one, you're moving, extending yourself towards the other, but the other, you're remaining within the boundaries and not moving forward. These two opposite midot. Yishmael having no boundaries means that his midah is unwilling to incorporate into it or take into consideration the existence of another midah at the other opposite end. The midah, in fact, of he who really he's selected away from, Yishmael, and that is Yitzchak, with the midah of Gevura. Okay? I'll say it again. The extremity and therefore the destructive aspect in the Midah of Yishmael, in the Chesed of Yishmael, which therefore is eliminated and removed out of the system, is because it's unwilling to, this is just rephrasing, This is just rephrasing or redefining the, what does it mean, extreme midah of chesed. It's unwilling to take into account and to compromise itself with the opposite midah, the midah of gevura. I'm just saying in other words, not what you yourself said. Now, what it means is that once we do, listen carefully, we're taking it one stage further, once we do remove this element out, and in the system of the formation of Klal Yisrael, or in the Klal Yisrael genes which are being developed, however you want to phrase it. Once this has been removed, so now the midah of chesed that does remain in Avram Avinu and for future generations is chesed which is metukan. Chesed metukan, which would mean that despite its own nature of chesed, it doesn't negate the fact that it takes into consideration and is willing to give space and room for the opposite midah, the midah of gvura, meaning the midah of chesed is willing to face, if you wish to phrase it as such, and I like phrasing it as such, the midah of chesed is willing to face the midah of gvura and work along with it, not against it, doesn't see it as a clash to it. You'll say, but they're opposites of each other? And that's the big chiddush over here. Opposites don't have to contradict. Opposites can actually complement each other. And that's a very deep underlying theme, bechlal, and I don't like the term, but I'll use it anyway, mystical thought in general. And specifically, Lavdil ben Chol Kodesh, definitely in the thoughts of deeper sources in Torah and Chazal. Okay? Opposites don't have to, they can sometimes, but they don't have to contradict, they can complement each other. Okay, those of you who've done some popular science reading know that in the 20th century, physics had to coin a whole new term, complementarity, in order to explain the nature of light, which seems to be sometimes showing itself to behave in one way, and sometimes in a complete opposite way, and the only way to be able to explain the nature of light was they needed to form a new term, and that is complementarity, that yes, light can present itself in two opposite ways, but don't contradict, rather than complement each other. And this way of thinking is not a chiddush of the 20th century. So maybe not an application to modern physics, but definitely in terms of philosophically speaking, conceptually speaking, these are type of thinking that existed in Chazal for thousands of years already. Okay. What it means is, and this is where I hinted before, that there is a lot of halacha lemaaseh in terms of avodat ha-midot, in terms of what we're talking about right now. And that is that the diversity of midot within you do not oppose each other. They don't hate each other. They are willing to face each other. If you want to face it, put it as such, these two midot face each other. They're willing to give space to the other, to have to balance it and to work together, with it. Okay? If you wish, in terms of the individuals, that means Avraham and Yitzchak, as opposing as they may be in their orientation, and every kid knows that their personality comes out to be so dramatically different than the text of Chumash. Avraham Avinu comes out so much more outgoing, ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan, influencing the world, going out of his boundaries, of his chesed act of ben adam l'chaveiro, spreading, expanding, as all chesed aspects, the word of Hashem, the existence of Hashem in the world, the birth of monotheism, begins spreading around the world. He doesn't leave it within himself. Yitzchak Avinu comes out a very opposite personality. So Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, though, in terms of their midot metukanot, come to be able to work together and to work in balance with each other. Now, on this level of discussion, my understanding to our question, and that is, listen carefully, please. Why, in fact, from this point, before Yitzchak is even born, do we have to skip ahead to the end of the process, where all midot are completed and are completely working together, and that is the stage of Malchut, which we'll be defining this midah more and more as we go along, and some aspects already, hopefully later in Shir today. Before the midah of chesed goes on to develop the next midah, or the next midah appearing, the midah of gvura, we need to first set the stage for all seven midot to be there. That means that the midot are developing in the context of them all. No midah is being formed alone as an individual midah. All midot are being formed milkatchila. From the very beginning of their formation, they're formed as interactive midot. What did I mean before when I said that it's halacha lemaaseh in terms of tikkun midot? The concept of shalom, right? Which, by the way, is another term which corresponds to this midah malchut. We'll have many different terms to describe it. One of them is shalom. don't forget that the king of all times for Klal Yisrael.
Hamelech shehashalom shelo. Shlomo hamelech. As I'll say, Hamelech shehashalom shelo.
The Midah of Malchut, the Midah of Shalom go together. The seventh day, which is the Midah of Malchut of the week, Shabbat Shalom. We'll be seeing more and more aspects of that. But Shalom means, not a, as we would understand it today, especially in our day and age today, the absence of war. That's not what Shalom means. Shalom does not mean peace. It's a distortion of the word. Shalom means all elements, as opposing as they may be, in a system, completely working together in harmony. Okay? That's what Shalom is. There are many sources in Chazal that express that. Also, Shalom bim Romav, as I'll talk about. Esh and Mayim bim Romim. There's Esh and Mayim. Again, Midot of Gevurah and Chesed coming out, and these two elements of fire and water. And yet, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, makes Shalom between the two. So, asking for Shalom, and all of our davening, by the way, three times a day, is all aimed towards that bracha of Shalom, closing the Shemoneh Esrei. By that time, our minds usually are very far away from where we started our focus. That's the completion of all Shemoneh Esrei. It's the asking for the ultimate bracha. En kli machzik bracha ela shalom. The only vessel that contains bracha in the world is that of shalom. And this manifests itself ben adam lechavero, shalom bayit between adam and ishto, and between ben adam leatzmo. This is really the topic of discussion now when I talk in terms of tikkun midot. Experiencing internal shalom means that you are able to slowly develop and grow in terms of your working and your midot in a way that you're slowly but surely, as you're traveling through your development of your personality, you're experiencing more and more harmony between the different sides in you and less internal clashes. For example, the strongest one between the physical desires of your body and the perspective of the world that you have in your soul. Your mind and body are not in clash with each other. They're as opposite as they are in their orientation, one being completely physical, one being completely non-physical, and somehow they interact and meet, and they don't contradict, rather they learn to work together. That's a ben adam metukan. Okay, you see somebody like Rav Levinson on the Beis Medrash, not many yeshivot, not many kids your age get the zchut to see such a huge personality. I hope people are aware of that. Almost nobody in our generation has the zchut to see such a giant. Anyways, you see such a person walking around, you don't get a sense of any clash in his midot. There's something that just spontaneously comes out. The system seems to be working together. And that brings about an internal peacefulness that comes up in a very strong way. And definitely don't get any sense of any clash between mind and body over there that we experience very much as youngsters, and also older people can, and people who work in themselves a lifetime. It comes out in such an impressive way. So Oshe, to have the midah of shalom internally within you on this level means that all your midot are working in complete harmony with each other. If you wish, a mashal for this. A correct way, if you're interested in teaching somebody to become a professional violinist or a pianist, or to be able professional to the extent that you're able to play in a part of a symphony orchestra. Milkatchila, you're going to be teaching him not just to know how to play on his own. Milkatchila, you're going to be teaching him how to play with coordination and with harmony with everybody else around. And that's really what we're trying to produce over here, is a harmony of an orchestra. But instead of instruments, we're talking about internal instruments with midot right now. Okay. Now, let's see how this expresses itself all inside in the psukim. Okay? So please look inside, in the parsha of the Akedah itself. And by doing this, we're switching right now from the Yitzhak aspect of the Akedah to the Avraham Avinu aspect of the Akedah. Look inside. Perek Afdet, Pasuk Yudbet. Chapter 22, Pasuk 12. Chapter 22, Pasuk 12. Okay, this is the dramatic moment where Avraham is told, stop, don't shecht your son. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you don't have to, because, I'm reading inside Pasuk Yudbet, Koyomer, al tishlach yedcha el hanav, ve'al ta'as lo me'uma, ki ata yadati, ki yere Elokim ata, ve'lo chasachta b'incha et yichidcha mimeni. Avraham Avinu, as a result of that Akedah, comes out to become somebody who's defined as?
Yere.
Yireh Elokim or Yireh Hashem. But the truth of the matter is, we said that that's the prime midah, that's Yitzchak's midah that comes out as a result of the Akedah. And yet, the Pesukim described that Avraham Avinu in himself, through the Akedah, as chesed-oriented as he may be, brings out and activates in him the ability, or the ability to turn to, at the necessary times, to that opposite midah of Yireh Elokim. Well, just 1 second, Sadia. Meaning, in this parsha, besides Yitzchak's midah coming forth, Avram's opposite orientation is turning to and being able to. Lemaaseh, that's this era that we illustrated over here, the midah of Chesed turning towards the midah of Gevurah. Now, I'd like to see an earlier expression of that, and that is the beginning of the parsha. Perek Yudchet, and a very opening paragraph. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Perek Yudchet Pasuk Tet Zayin. As people turn the pages, I'll ask you, Sadia, what do you want to say?
You said, so it says Yireh Hashem, but the whole Akedah, it says right afterward, you got constructed that.
Your Choliyot of what you're saying is correct. I need to examine it more, but if anything, I think that's exactly the point. That his midah can be coming out and fully reaching its peak at his 10th and last and his closing nisayon of all 10 nisayonot. And as the midah completes itself, it doesn't complete itself in relationship to itself, it completes itself coupled together with turning towards another midah. It has to be polished, the definition over here, and to take more into consideration what you're saying, but in general, I think that that would be the correct way to present the things. In any case, I'd like to see possible our early origins from the very beginning of the parsha to this direction that the parsha is taking from the very inception of it. And that takes us back to the opening paragraph, the very long opening paragraph. And when I said paragraph, for those of you who weren't here again, parasha, ptucha, and stuma. The whole very long perek yudchet pasuk aleph, all of perek yudchet and all of perek yudtet is one long parasha with no breaks in the middle. No revachim, which were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, to be mitbonen. I didn't mention it, actually. The reason why I'm so much insisting on being aware of these parashiyot, tukot, and stimot, as a structural view of a parasha, before any other breakdown, because that's the way Chazal say the Torah was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. These revachim, these gaps, were given over to Moshe Rabbeinu to stop, contemplate, digest, internalize, and then Hashem would say, Moshe, you ready? I can continue? Moshe would say, so to speak, yes, we can go on. If Moshe Rabbeinu needed these gaps to stop, internalize, contemplate, think, and only then go on, so kol sheken v'alachat kan v'kama az. Okay? So then, again, we have one paragraph, which means that there's one topic underlying the whole opening long piece of the parsha, and that is the message that Yitzchak will be born, healing Avraham Avinu, and the destruction of Sodom and the saving of Lot is all one thing, which is aspects of it we're in the process of discussing. But in the context of that, right after, as we're moving from the first task of the Malachim, or the first two, and that is the healing of Avraham and the message that Yitzchak will be born, we're moving, we're switching, shifting on to the next third task. And that is Pasuk Tet Zayin, Perek Yudchet, look inside please. Vayakumu mishama anashim, I'm reading inside Pasuk 16. Vayashkifu al pnei Sodom, the Malachim are going and they're gazing at Sodom. By the way, I don't think we're going to have time this year to focus on it, but as you learn the Parsha, when we get in a couple of weeks to the Parsha, notice the incredible underlying theme in this Parsha. Notice years ago, in terms of so much focusing and revolving around vision or lack of the vision in this Parsha. Parsha Vayera, the blindness that causes the people of Sodom not to be able to go in. Don't look back, which is what Lot's wife is told, and she does look back, and she turns into a pillar of salt, and we do know that what causes blindness to people? Melech Sodomit. Melech from Sodom causes blindness, and that's why the part of doing Mayim Achronim, to the halakhic discussion, do we have Melech Sodomit there or not? So maybe we're on this now. I have to do Mayim Achronim. According to many posting, you still do have to do Mayim Achronim, but in any case, so much of the Parsha, and I just brought a couple of examples, revolves around, and this is one more of it, this Hashkafa, this gazing of the Malachim that's mentioned over here. Yes, Josh?
Also, in Avukos,
totally. The whole Parsha starts off with Vayera, the whole Parsha ends off with the mountain receives for the first name Al Hashem Yera'eh, Asher Ya'amer Be'al Hashem Yera'eh. We learn from that that three times a year we have a dual mitzvah to be Lir'ot Ve'Lera'ot, to come see the Shechina, to come to be seen by the Shechina, and it goes back to this Parsha. Then manifests itself again in Sefer Devarim, and of course no other Parsha than Parsha Re'eh. That's when the Chiyuv actually comes out, the Chiyuv to be written Ro'eh and Yir'eh in Beit HaMikdash in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in any case, Vayashkifu al pnei Sdom, Ba'Avraham Olech Inam L'Sholchan, Ve'Hashem Amar HaMechase, Pasuk Yudzayim, Ve'Hashem Amar HaMechase. Now there comes something here very strange. What in the world is happening over here? The Malachim go, and they're gazing at Sdom, and Avram Avinu is going with him, and Hashem says, what am I going to hide from Avram Avinu the next stage of what I want to do? I'm a chaseh, I'm Avram Asher, I'm yoseh, but Avram is going to be a great people. V'Avram ayo yeh legoy gedol v'atzum, v'nivruchu v'kol goye ha'aretz, ki da'atib l'man asher yitzabed banav et beito acharav, you can follow in the English if you prefer, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat, la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. You'll notice in a moment why I'm reading it twice. L'man havi Hashem al Avram et asher diber alav. We have given here all this background, which we almost never ever find in the Chumash, the internal, so to speak, internal discussions of, between God and himself as how we should be interacting with the world. We have maybe one or two more times in all of Chumash that we find that. The cheshbonot between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself, we never are given. We don't get into the thinking process, of course, so to speak. Not attributing thinking, human thinking, but we never give out a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculations, why he does things. There's maybe one at most two other places, and this is one of them. Hashem says, well, I'm going to hide from Avram Avinu what I'm going to do. Ah, but Avram Avinu is still going to be such a great people, and he's going to teach his children to go into Tzedakah Mishpat. I can't do that. So Hashem says, and that's the next pasuk, pasuk 20. Vayomer Hashem zakat Sdom ve'Amora ki rabba v'chatatam ki kadamot. Hashem initiates another conversation with Avram. Oh, you know, Sdom is terrible. I'm going to actually go and destroy them. So Avram Avinu goes and then has this long dialogue back and forth over and over. Well, if there are 50 tzaddikim there, will you say them? If there are 45, would you say them? If there are 30, would you say them? This negotiation keeps going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until we get to 10. Wow, very puzzling. Ma, what's this progression over here from 50 into 45 into 40 and then to 30 and then to 20 and then to 10? Very interesting numbers. I don't even claim to understand what's going on over here. What does it mean to go down from this 50 tzaddikim to 10 tzaddikim? Ma'od me'anyan. But in any case, Hashem says, I will not demolish it if there are sara. Ma kolepo. I can't hide it from Avram. I have to tell him. And that instigates this whole negotiation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And insisting, but well, and Avram Avinu comes out to be this big tzaddik over here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come out, so to speak, to be such a tzaddik, and only doing a favor to Avram Avinu, well, maybe I will not demolish it. Awesome. I think, possibly, I'm going to suggest that, I don't know this for a fact, but as a possibility, I'd like to suggest the following. And that is, let's focus carefully what Avram Avinu is saying. As he starts negotiating, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, look inside this. You need to see the text inside. Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Ve'igash Abraham ve'yomar, so Avram moves forth. And it says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af tispe tzadikim rasha. What, you're going to demolish an entire city? Clearly there are some, there's a whole mixture and diversity of people over there. You're going to be sofet tzadikim rasha. Ulai yesh 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir af tispe ve'lo tisa la'makom la'man 50 tzadikim asher bekirba. You can't do that. That's not fair. I'm reading the next pasuk. Pasuk 25. Chalila lecha me'asot kadavar hazeh. You can't do that, God. Hashofet kol ha'aretz. You're the judge of the whole world. The midah mishpat or of din. Lo yaseh mishpat. Avraham Avinu is demanding for a midah of mishpat and din and justice to be taking place in the world. That's not fair. That can't be. Now, notice, it doesn't mean that Avraham Avinu is necessarily asking what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding. Well, I will not destroy the entire city if I find 50 tzaddikim in it. Avraham Avinu says, all he's claiming, you cannot give the same judgment, both the tzaddikim and the rashaim. Mitzidi, take the tzaddikim out. So there are elements of tzaddikut that has to be removed. And in fact, Lot is actually saved. And his daughters. So you want to say Lot is not a tzaddik, but it's going to be David HaMelech or Ruth that comes out. B'seder Gemur, if you want to talk in a genetic level. The potential has to come out.
That's why Saadi mentioned the other day, and I'm not sure, yeah, I may be wrong, but I'm not sure that what Avraham is asking for is dafka with the midah of chesed coming out. Hashem says, I will not destroy the city, and I'll do a favor to the whole city if there are 50 tzaddikim or even 10 tzaddikim. Avraham is not necessarily asking the whole city not to be destroyed as much as he's asking, that's not fair din, and that's not mishpat. You cannot give the same judgment to both. You have to examine carefully the deeds of one, give him his own judgment, and the deeds of the other, and basically, against, he's claiming against collective punishment. You can't do collective punishment. That's not din, that's not mishpat. So, why does God get himself in trouble? Oh, I can't do this on my own. I need to discuss it with Avraham Avinu. And then he gets into all this trouble with Avraham Avinu. Which is unnecessary anyways, because in the end anyways, there's no 50 tzaddikim, and there's not even 10 tzaddikim. Unless maybe this really brings it up, and I'm not familiar with such a source, and I totally mean by ignorance, but this discussion really brings about the saving of Lot, and Lot of there. But what is Hashem getting himself, quote-unquote, kol kivyachol, in trouble asking Avraham Avinu to take part in the discussion? What? I don't recall that it is. Yachol yot. It'll be interesting that it is. But in any case, I would suspect.
Can you say this?
What's your name?
Joseph.
Joseph? Yes.
Can you say this is what saved Amalek? Because Amalek wasn't destroyed till later.
As opposed to?
In the beginning, it said that they wanted to destroy Sidon and Amalek. Now they can destroy both. But when they were destroying Sidon, Amalek was given an extra couple of years.
But that's, I can go to that. I want us to check that. It'll be important to check that. I would suspect. But possible no contradiction to that, isn't it? That's true. Or to any other level. That's what Rosh Baruch Hu is not trying to get into trouble over here. Rosh Baruch Hu is trying to create the possibility for Avraham Avinu and create the scenario around and the environment to bring out of Avraham Avinu a demand for a new midah. And the demand has to come out. Rosh Baruch Hu is going to create the circumstances for Avraham Avinu to find himself when he's screaming out and bringing out of his system the demand for the midah of din. And it's going to come forth ultimately in a deep sense in the form of his son to be born in this parsha, to be carrying that midah, the midah of din, the midah of gvura, the midah of ira, in the form of Yitzchak Avinu, where Avraham Avinu himself is going to be coming out to be Yireh Elohim. Notice, by the way, the term Yireh Elohim at the end of the parsha. Elohim is the name of God when he acts in the midah of din. Shem Kel, Aleph Lamed is the name of God when he acts in the midah of chesed. Shem Elohim is in the midah of gvura, or din, shofet. Anytime the Torah refers to shofet, it says Elohim. It parshat mishpatim refers to the dayanim and beitin as Elohim. So Avraham Avinu insists for the midah of din to be there. And in fact, that circumstances brings it forth as potential coming out from him. So that starts from the very beginning of the Parsha, and it culminates itself at the end, by the end of the Parsha, with the birth of Yitzchak, with Akedah bringing out the Midah of Yitzchak, and Avraham Avinu himself becomes a Yireh Elohim in a way, listen carefully now, that the two Midot, as we said before, of Chesed and Din, or Ahava and Yirah, if you wish, or Avraham and Yitzchak, are turning towards each other in a way that they can walk along together. And they can walk along together towards the destination of the seventh midah of Malchut. But what's beautiful, notice, how does the parsha end? How does the scenario, the episode of the Akedah complete itself? Look inside in Pasuk Yutet, in Perek Avbet, chapter 22, Pasuk 19. Quickly please, Perek Avbet, Pasuk Yutet. Vayashov Avraham el Nara Vayakumu Vayelchu Yachdav. That's a term that already appears a little earlier on. As they leave the altar, Avram and Yitzhak go together. Vayashov Avraham el Nara Vayakumu Vayelchu Yachdav el Be'er Shava. Vayashov Avraham el Be'er Shava. We were already wondering early on in the Parsha, what's this whole Be'er Shava business between Avram and Avimelech and the Shvua that they made there? And the Shevach Vasod, the seven sheep that was given over from Avraham Avinu to Avimelech, and bringing about the new name of a new place called Be'er Sheva, which is turns out to be a very significant place in all of Sefer Bereshit, Be'er Sheva, the well of the seven. And Yitzhak Avinu is going to name the same place Beersheba again in the next parsha. We saw already how crucial are these wells, Be'erot, underlying all of Sefer Bereshit and into Sefer Shemot, the most important crossroads, intersections that we get in the formation of Klal Yisrael, always take place by the well. And there's this constant war between Avram and Avimelech, which we'll be talking about Bezat Hashem tomorrow. What is the Avram Avimelech, Yitzhak Avimelech, Klal Yisrael Avimelech confrontation? But in any case, a new well comes forth, bringing out new waters, if you wish, a new midah, Be'er Sheva. The well of the seven, whether it attributes itself to the seven sheep, or whether it goes back to the Shvuah, whatever Shvuah and Sheva have to do with each other, that Avram and Yitzchak are described in the end of the Akedah as walking together. And where they're walking together is to Be'er Sheva. And that, and Chazal said explicitly, is exactly the product of the Akedah and the summing up of everything that we spoke about in the past couple days and of today. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, what I would like to see is, in fact, the Avram Avimelech, later to turn into the Yitzhak Avimelech confrontation. Be'ezrat Hashem, Avimelech is the king of? Even though it doesn't say over here what the name of his kingdom is. Of the Plishtim. What is Plishtim? What are they about? And what's their role historically with its seeds here in Bereshit? Yes, sir.